Okay. So much happened this last week. I'm pretty sure everybody has had a week like mine. Okay. Last week I talked about excellence, and it's interesting that Butch talked about, what's that word you used to get? What was the word for the Bible study today? Abundant. What was that big word?
Ultimate.
There it is. I'm sorry. I didn't get that one. Okay, so the ultimate, because that's a description of God. Bigger. Remember, supersized. We supersized him last week. But we did talk a little bit about toilet paper. Did anybody see toilet paper differently this week? I did, even in my own house. I did. I'm going, oh, this is funny. I wonder if anybody else did this. Leaving a little tail in the bathroom so nobody's all doing this, trying to figure out how to find the end. That's an excellent spirit. That's what we talked about last week. You have to listen to it. Again, we have them online. You can go to our Facebook page or to our website, PlymouthCommunityChurch.net, to view any of our messages online. All right. This is going to be a mouthful. My prayer every morning when I wake up, before I even open my eyes, I would say, Father, purge and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Purge and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I don't know some of the stuff that he might be purging because we're deceived. Because we think it's okay, but God needs to show me when things are not okay. So I give him permission. Do you know you have to give him permission to talk to you like that? You have to be willing to hear what he has to say. So I would say that every morning before I even get out of bed, purge me, Father, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And we're talking about that today. This message is called Be Ye Perfect. Okay, we've all failed. Nobody's perfect, right? We've all made mistakes. But our goal is to do things right. Don't you want everybody to like you? Don't you want everybody to like you? Okay, some people don't care. Tom doesn't care. I go, you're the only one that doesn't care if people like you or not. We want to do everything right. Don't we desire every day to get up, okay, Lord, I just want to make this the best day. I want to follow you. I want to hear you. I want to do what you want me to do. And then we don't even get out of bed and we've kicked the dog. So, you know, we are human. And I wanted to bring that up to you because I am human. And I'm going to make some big mistakes. I might step on some toes, say some things, dress wrongly, wear my hair differently, sing a terrible song, whatever it is. But would you please not look at what I do, but look at what God is doing in me? Would you please? I'm asking that of you, to see God in me, because I strive every day to follow him. Now, I'm not going to make the mark every time, and I hope you have compassion and understanding and forgiveness when I do. Don't you want that for us to do to you? Each other, right? I think so. So to be perfect is in Matthew 5:48. It says this, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So what does it mean to be perfect? Doing everything right? No. We're going to mess up. But having perfect love in us. God's love, not my love. Mine is conditional. I'll say, don't do it again. I give you three chances and you're out. But God does not do that. His love is infinite, forever, everlasting. He doesn't cease to love us. And that's the perfectness we need in us. Isn't that easy? Yes. Isn't that much easier than trying to be perfect? The word trying isn't even in the Bible. The word trying to be a good Christian isn't even in the Bible. The trying of your faith works patience, or God tries the heart. But it never says for you to try. It either says you do it or you don't. But you and I were talking earlier, there's no gray area with God. You know that gray area? He says he'll spew you out of his mouth. Now that's pretty strong, but that's that lukewarmness. You're neither hot nor cold. We need to be hot or cold. I'd rather you be cold, then he can take care of some issues. Or be hot, then you're really serving me. But he can do something with those. But that wishy-washy stuff in the middle, he can't do nothing much with, people. You need to know that. So we need to find out who is within us. A better chance at living righteously or rightly is having the right one in us. We talked about that in Sunday school. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is, matter of fact, it says in the scriptures, it says it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not even Jesus' righteousness, it's God's righteousness in Jesus. He was a man. He had to make decisions. He lived righteously on this planet. See, many people have a hard time with this righteousness because it's all about love. As simple as I can put it, it's all about love. Many can't give love without pain. It hurts to love, doesn't it? Many people can't receive love. They put a shadow up because they say it hurts too much to love. So you're back to being tormented, which is fear, by the way, the Bible says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Maybe you have a parent that didn't love you properly when you were growing up. That's going to affect you for the rest of your life. But when God adopts you and you become his, that is history. You become his. You're his child now. The difference between righteousness and self-righteousness. Okay, we got a lot of that going on, don't we? Here's what I put down. I just wrote it. Jesus is our righteousness in God. He gets the glory. Jesus gets the glory. When we are in our righteousness, we get the glory. That's it. So when you're talking to people, who is getting the righteousness? Who's being glorified? You or God? It's as simple as I can put it. I have to check my spirit because I go, okay, this is what happened. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm very transparent. What I teach, I get to go through. And something happened, and I wasn't feeling loved, I'll put it that way. And so I started to get angry. And when you get angry, of course, all kinds of things come out. I wanted the glory. Did anybody in here hear that? I wanted the glory. It was a little teeny tiny thing, just a little tiny glory, Lord, just a little bit. What a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lot, though. So I wanted to be appreciated in something. I was not. I felt hurt, rejected, abandoned. And I was driving around, and God says, am I not enough? Ouch. Am I not enough?
Amen.
Doesn't what I say about you weigh more than what somebody else might say to you? It's very temporary when they say it, but mine is eternal. And then he says, what you do in secret, I will reward you openly. See, if I go and try to get from that person, I'm not gonna get nothing from God. I got it. But what if the future? What if something happens and God's going to use it and elevate me? See, we have to repent. So I said, Lord, I repent. I am sorry that I wanted the glory. That was my self-righteousness speaking. Now, I don't know if anybody here has that same issue, but I'm just telling you from this person, I have had that come up from time to time, and I want to address it as quickly as I can. Because I want to stay clean. Remember, I get up every day, purge me from all unrighteousness. Matthew 5, 44 through 48. I want to read this. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's all about his love, overlooking, loving your enemies. Matthew 5:20 says, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into heaven." That's pretty bold. That's in Matthew. Jesus said that. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness. That means self-righteousness, people. So I had self-righteousness. Am I doomed to hell? No, I repented. Now I'm restored again. Now I get to do it again. Get a chance to do it again. What does it mean to be perfect? It means that perfect love casts out the fear and the torment. If you're being fearful, if you have torment going on, then it's for sure you're not being made perfect in love. Just an indicator. Then just go, "Lord, I need your love. I'm not getting it right now because it's not happening in my life." 1 John 4:12 says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love," get this, "is perfected in us." There's that perfect love again. It's all about love. Praise God. How do we know when we are walking in righteousness, perfectness, or unrighteousness, self-righteousness? You got to know the difference between good and evil. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So we need to know, is that a right thing for me to do or a wrong thing? When Tom and I are doing things together, he'll say, "I can do that," and I'll go, "But I can't." See, whatever I see, to me, I need to be in conscious with the Father. And they're gray areas. There are areas that are just not in the Bible. You know, you just have your personal walk. And so there's things that I can do, and there's things that he can do, and vice versa. We need to separate the good and the bad in every person. Jesus did. He sees the good because of his righteousness in us. He sees that we are forgiven. He sees the blood on our lives. He sees those things. What do we see? We see the blemish on that person's face. I have a little one right here. We see that they're not quite, up to the mark. We see a lot. We were talking about this in the Bible studies about seeing. Seeing can deceive you. Looking at the cover of a book can deceive you what's inside. We need to know the difference between good and evil. We need to discern people's lives. We don't just judge people because of how they look. We have to stop and ask God, "What do you want me to say?" Now we're loving them. Now we're overlooking them. You know, a friend loves at all times. I was talking with Anita this week, and she's been so wonderful, I have to tell you. I'm going to toot her horn for a minute. Matter of fact, when you go into righteousness, let other people toot your horn. Not you yourself, okay? So I am telling you that she has been making some wonderful meals, has called me, "Hey, Linda, I'm making this. I got some extra. You want some?" So I've been going over there a couple of times and picking it up. She's only a half a mile from my house. I love it. And she sent me a note, and my eyes just welled up with tears. I told Tom, he just was like, "Wow." And she said something like, "Isn't that what friends are for?" I haven't had anybody tell me that in so long. Now, Janet tells me we're friends all the time, but I mean, for somebody to just say, "That's what friends are for," a new person in my life telling me that they love me. Do you all want that? I know that we all do. Inheritance of the Lord is righteousness, Isaiah 54:17. We are related to each other because of Jesus' righteousness in us through God, of course. Again, let others praise you, not yourself. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." So I have a testimonial from a friend of mine. He's a pastor. He's been a pastor for about 65 years, a good friend of mine. One day he said to me, and I went to one of his meetings, and I actually spoke for him at one of his meetings. He came up to me afterwards, and I'm telling you something very frank here. He came up to me afterwards and said, "I thought you'd be farther along than you are." That was about 30 years ago. That kicked me in the seat, I'll tell you. I didn't take it as a rejection because I knew he loved me. Can you receive stuff like that from those that love you? I know Kelly loves me. I know Anita loves me. I know Vern. I know I can name everybody in here that loves me. This is what he wrote to me when he found out that I became pastor. You have gone a long way, Linda. And despite being abused by your first husband and many ups and downs, including sickness, you have now matured and placed in your final position on earth. Before you are called home, I am glad that my wife, Ina, and I had a part in your journey on this earth. May God richly bless you is my prayer. I will see you in heaven someday, and then we will share our stories from earth. My 500-page biography is coming out next week, and I'm praising God for that. You are mentioned in the book. I talk about honor, talk about glory, something that I didn't expect from this man of honor. He had radio programs, he did a lot of teaching, wrote many books. Luke 18:14 says, I tell you, this man went to this house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So where's the righteousness in there? The person that's abased and humbles himself, that's the righteous person. The one that goes, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look what I can do. That's of self-righteousness. Isn't that easy to do? Isn't that easy to do? What you do? You just go to God. Father, I'm sorry, I just had self-righteousness on me. Would you please forgive me? Simple as that, and he will change your heart. Now, here's a scripture that everybody's afraid of. Every Christian that I've ever spoke to is afraid of. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. What is his will? Starts with an L. Thank you. I'm doing a butch. Okay. You got to come to Bible study because he leaves it open for you to respond. Okay. So not everybody will enter to heaven, but those that do love one another. But here's the thing. You're here because you know God loves you and you love and you're doing the best that you know and you ask God to forgive you. Don't be afraid of that passage. You're not one of those people. See, there's a scripture that says that his word is above his name. That's what I spoke about last week. His word is above his name. So what happens is these people go around saying, in your name, I cast out devils and I did all these things, but they didn't obey the word. See, Jesus' name is powerful. It can be used. It can be abused. But does that person really serve Jesus? Do they really know him? Do they hear his voice? See, that's the difference between you and the world. Here's David. David's amazing. David danced before the Lord. He wasn't afraid of anybody who saw him. He danced before the Lord. Was he religious? Was David religious? No. He had relationship. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man known after God's own heart. That to me is like a perfect heart person, right? He knew the love of God in him. But yet he did all kinds of funky things, yet he still knew God's love. He was joyful. Tell your face you're saved sometimes. Tell your face you're saved. Now, I think Butch always says that. Let me see if anybody's smiling today. So what do we do every day? What is really important? Can we handle not being loved? It's painful, isn't it? But can you really handle not being loved? A friend of mine, I talked to her last night, I said, you're good material. Anyway, so I talked to her last night and she went to a lady to pray for her and the lady goes, I don't want it. It's in a church. I don't need it. She felt rejected. You know what God said to her? Well, what I meant for her, I'm going to give to you. Wow. She was blessed. She got anointed. She was filled with power and on high, got healing, all kinds of stuff because of that rejection that God set up Because see, God sometimes wants to kiss you. You're so busy giving it away. Maybe he needs you to take on a little bit first before you start giving it away. So he sets those things up so that we can come in grips with our hearts and him. I have this bracelet. This is my visual. Okay, you can't see it, probably too little. I've had it since 1970s. What would Jesus do? Remember that WWJD back in the 70s? I don't know if you remember. Anybody remember? What would Jesus do? So let's take a look at what Jesus would do. Was he perfect? He never, you know why he was perfect? He never fulfilled the lust of the flesh. He was flesh and blood, but he never fulfilled it. You know what he said? I'm only going to do what I saw my father do, and I'm only going to say what I heard my father say. Wouldn't that be neat if we walked around and all we did was speak the word to each other? We wouldn't get in any trouble. Well, maybe with the world. Not because he was the only begotten son, sinless, but because he knew who he was and believed every word of the Father. That's why we like the Bible studies, because it helps us to get into the word and chew up every little nook and cranny of the word, as opposed to being taught through a message. He lived selfless, righteousness of God, and not for himself ever. So can we back up a minute and look at our lives? Have you ever lived for yourself? You know when I do after 4 o'clock? I go, okay, now is my relaxing time. I can work on craft project. I can watch my shows, my binging in the night. You know, I mean, at 4 o'clock, that's my time. Is that really my time? No, it really isn't. Because even in that, I'm going, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Can you help me make this? Would you figure that out? He's always with me. So there is no downtime with God. Is there downtime with Satan?
No.
Oh man, he's looking for every nook and cranny. Mark 14:36, and Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you, but take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. He didn't want the cup. Do you like what's happening in your life? My friend came from Tahoe, and we talked about it last week, or last Wednesday night. I had to laugh when she told me. She came from Tahoe a week away, had a great time, got into her car in a little city next to, you know, about an hour from here, and her car wouldn't start. She got mad at God. I'm not talking to you right now. I don't have anything to say to you right now. I am mad at you, God. But you know what? She was honest. She didn't pretend. She didn't act. She said what it was. And then, of course, within minutes, she was back to being okay with God because, oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That was a flare-up. I was having a lack of faith. That's what we have to do. We have to be honest with God. So I'm going to take a second to look at the devil. We haven't talked about him much since I've been here. We allude to him with sin and unrighteousness, but let's talk about him specifically. Many people believe that he was the choir director in church. Does anybody remember hearing anything like that? That he led music. That's why music is so corrupt these days, because he's in there trying to mess with music. And within music is where we enter into the presence of God. It says in Isaiah 14:12, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground when you did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, see, it's all about our heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Wow. Is that a self-righteous proclamation? Do you know that he was perfect in heaven? Then why did he fall? Have you thought about that? Why does Satan fall if he was perfect? Because God gave choice even there. Do you want to be here with me? It's your choice to be here or not. And it was his self-righteousness that messed him up. Is that what's happening in our lives? Maybe our self-righteousness, our tooting our own horn, wanting to be better than the Joneses, whatever it is messing with our life. He was created perfect until he was not. He wanted to be glorified in self-righteousness, and he lost his place in heaven. He wanted to be God. Some say he was in charge of worship. See, we don't quarrel against flesh and blood, but against the spirits, which are the Antichrist and the spirit of righteousness. You remember that little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, and they're yelling in your ear? This is what's really happening. Who are we going to listen to? I have another prop for those kids here. I think you're going to enjoy this. Now, it's interesting because I did not know kids were going to be here today. But every one of us is like a puppet. Who is pulling your strings? Okay, wait a minute. This is Denise. That's right, you're Denise. Okay, this is Denise, but she doesn't come to life until I stick my hand on her. Who's got their hand in you? Who's got their hand in you? Oh. Hey, why are you laughing at me? See how I'm doing that? Why are you laughing at me? This is Denise. So, this is how we are. Who is pulling your strings? Who is causing you to be act ugly? Yeah, you, acting ugly. Who causes us? What's inside of us? That's what we have to. Now, when I take my hand out, she's just an empty vessel. We're all empty vessels. What are you full of? What is pulling your strings? Is it righteousness or is it unrighteousness? Is it God or is it the devil? I like to say it this way. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? We're going to have to serve somebody, right? It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. There is no in between. We have to address this enemy of our soul. We talked about it in Bible study today. There is an enemy out there that God hates, and it is the devil. Doesn't hate people, but if that person acts like the devil, he might have a problem with that person. That's why some people go to hell, because they are submitting to that daddy. He's the father of lies. He is the opposite of love, opposite of righteousness, opposite of truth. He's subtle. You don't even know you're being thwarted by the enemy till you start feeling, why am I feeling so bad? And then you go back in your thinking and go, oh, I see how it started. That's why it's important to think about where you're at and why you got there, instead of just getting alcohol or taking a pill or watching television or going shopping or eating food. Ask the Lord what's going on in your heart.